We're all here in America, and on the takeaway program this morning, we're trying to decipher and determine the effectiveness of the stimulus package that's beginning to emerge from Congress with a price tag of $920 billion. And it's the kind of thing that Americans are going to be doing over the next several years. Historians will probably be doing for generations, and economists are trying to figure out right now. And we're on the line now with Nobel Prize-winning economist and Columbia University professor Joseph Stiglitz. Welcome to the show, Professor Stiglitz.
Nice to be here.
You know, I have so many questions to ask you, but it seems to me, listening to all the rhetoric coming from the White House and from Congress, that the essential principles of this stimulus are the projects have to be very visible. They have to be perceived as fair to various kinds of economic classes and industries, that there'll be maximum participation, and they need to move quickly. Are those appropriate principles for an economic stimulus plan, and does this plan meet those principles?
By and large, yes. I mean, there are a couple of other principles that economists would focus on. One of them is that needs to create an asset that yields a return that for instance, infrastructure projects, had we invested in the new levees in New Orleans, we would have saved hundreds of billions of dollars. Now, that's an asset that would have saved us so much money. The same thing in Minneapolis Bridge. You know, there are lots of things where the returns are just phenomenal. And, you know, economists look at returns.
Well, you know, it seems like economists are having a bit of a ambivalence crisis over this, or at least maybe the policymakers are, because they seem very focused on an asset return on the financial side, i.e. restoring the banks, and a little bit oblivious to the asset return question for some of these projects around the nation. Are you seeing that?
Well, I think there is concern. I mean, on my side, I have particular concern about the almost third of the money that goes into tax cuts to households and much of the business tax cuts, because those aren't yielding any assets. So it's not getting us any return. So we are getting an increase in what we owe. We're borrowing the money, but we're not having anything to show for it at all.
But wouldn't a monetarist say that if we do, by those tax cuts, encourage people to save, we do end up creating an asset return for the dollar itself by backing, creating a larger pool of dollars for lending?
Well, the two problems with that, the important thing is that right now we're in an unusual situation. Americans have not saved as much as they should. And normally we would like to encourage savings, but this is not today's situation. The problem right now is that it's called the paradox of thrift, that because people are not spending, the economy is going into a very sharp decline. So we want to encourage spending. From my own perspective, from the perspective of an economist, you want the spending that creates an asset. But any spending generates activity. Generating activity generates jobs, and we have a positive cycle. If people don't have those jobs, then they stop spending, and we have a vicious negative cycle. So that's what we're trying to do. And unfortunately, if you give a tax cut, it's very normal with the overhang of debt that Americans have and the uncertainty that they face that they save it. But that is not what is needed at the current time.
Professor, you talk about how too much of the discussion right now about the stimulus package is backward-looking. What do you mean, and what would be a more forward-looking discussion?
Well, what you're looking for is encouraging the economy to spend money on things it needs. A lot of the backward-looking spending is bailing out banks that made bad mistakes. And as we bail out the banks, that money is just dribbling out into bonuses, into dividends. That's trying to make up for bad decisions that have been made over the last 5 years. If we were forward-looking, we would, for instance, rather than insuring the old assets, which the Treasury is reportedly thinking about doing, we would be insuring the new investments, the new loans that are made. That's forward-looking, so encouraging the banks to make new investments rather than compensating them for the stupid mistakes that they made in the past.
Well, then I guess there's an even broader question about this sort of forward-looking or backward-looking. You know, they say at the Pentagon that the generals are always fighting the last war. Are we going to learn from this episode, because it's so much of the rhetoric is about we're in uncharted waters, it's an unprecedented situation, that this stimulus is basically fighting the last depression and might not have the impact on this, you know, very unusual set of circumstances that we're facing now?
Well, I think what we will be learning is that some of what we are doing this time has been shaped by the Great Depression. That's particularly true with the bank bailout. But banks have changed so much since the Great Depression that what we're doing to save the financial system, while it might have worked in the Great Depression, is not appropriate for the financial system that we have in the 21st Wow. century. And the problem is that the reason we got into trouble is because the financial system changed. The banks stopped doing the lending directly. They moved into what was called the moving business rather than in what is called the originate and distribute. They didn't do as much, very little of direct lending to enterprises. They were involved in securitization. So part of the problem, I think, is that some of the policymakers have not are fighting the last battle. They haven't absorbed right. the real changes in our financial system. Some of those changes, of course, are what got us into trouble.
Right. Well, Joe, I've got a personal question for you, frankly. You know, if we look back at long-term capital management, where a couple of Nobel Prize winners were involved in the debacle of that hedge fund, and then just sort of take a look at the circumstances of the last 18 months, have economists taken a confidence hit here, even Nobel Prize-winning economists? And do you feel that personally?
Well, I do think that much of the economics profession did take a confidence hit. The standard paradigm focused on rational expectations of people, you know, rationally approach things. It's so obvious that that is not the case. Many of the models focused on well-functioning, efficient economies. It's so clear that that's not the case.
So there's plenty of work to do. There's plenty of work to do for economists looking forward.
Just to give you one more example.
Quickly.
Many economists focused on that central banks should focus just on keeping inflation down, ignoring what was happening in the financial system. And that's clearly one of the things that's gotten us into trouble. I personally...
We're going to have to leave it there. That's one of the lessons. Many more. Joseph Stiglitz, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.